Let me get wired up now. We'll be ready to go. Y'all can be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. That's what we're going to be looking at. What I would just want to look at for our couple mornings here for Sunday school is evangelism and missions in today's world. Next week I'm going to ask a big favor of all of y'all in the adult Sunday school class. I want to show you some overheads next week, so I'm going to ask you to go sit up front. Everybody's looking at me funny now, boy, when I said that. See, what happens is this. I need y'all all to go in the front so you can see the overhead, and that way I will be way up there preaching and y'all will be way down here. And if you go sit up front right away, that means I might actually let you out early from Sunday school. But if you had to take the time after the children go for all of us to get up out of our seats and go sit up front, then we might get out a little bit late. So that's the favor I'm going to ask of you. What do y'all think? Y'all think y'all could do it next Sunday? Anybody else? Shall I take a vote? All opposed, stand. Okay, good. All right. Tonight I want you to really encourage you to invite some people out. Tonight, the two Sunday nights and two Tuesday nights, I want to cover a series that's called Christianity on Trial. Now what it is basically for four sessions, we're going to take and look at Christianity from an evidence point basis only. Meaning if you were to run into someone who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe the Bible is God's Word, doesn't believe Jesus was God, would you know how to answer them? We're going to look at some hard evidence, how you can be able to answer those people. Tonight we're going to ask the question, how can we know that God exists? So I'm going to encourage you to really be out there. But 1 Corinthians 9 this morning, we're going to read verse 16 down to the end of the chapter, verse 16 to 27. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, so that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not the day which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we ask that you just take your word. We ask that you would make it alive and real to us. We ask that you would bless us through it. We ask that you would speak to us through it and challenge our hearts through it. Father, we open ourselves to the hearing of your Holy Spirit. Father, we open ourselves to your working in our lives. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems like every church that I've been to visit lately, there seems to be, I guess if you want to classify it as a falling away, you'll classify it as it seems there's less and less people that are coming to know Jesus Christ, the Savior. It seems as though years ago we saw evangelism and we would see literally hundreds of souls saved in the course of a year in some places. But it seems like that's dying out. It seems like that's not happening anymore. And as I talk to different leaders of churches, they feel like they're baffled. They don't know what to do. How can they win souls to Christ? You see, we're facing a new generation. We're facing a new challenge. Things are different now. I'm sure most of you who are older could think back and maybe 40, 50 years ago on a Sunday night, almost everybody in Spanish House was to church somewhere. If it wasn't here or some church somewhere, everybody was to church. The times have changed now. People have satellite TV. Church was a social event back then. Now they can sit home and watch football or whatever else. Or there are other things that are going on. And with all of these challenges that we're facing, the question we've got to ask ourselves is, how do we win souls in today's world? How do we reach out to others in today's world? You see, the problem is, for too long, we've taken the gospel and we've kept the gospel in church. You see, the problem is, we need to take the gospel outside of church. And I might be wrong here, because it happens from time to time again, but not many times are you going to see mass evangelism, meaning where you're going to see a huge church or auditorium filled with people and a lot of people coming to Christ at once. I believe Billy Graham is the only exception to this, but it isn't happening like it used to. You see, the way we're going to win souls today, as individuals, every one of us here has to commit ourselves to, when we leave this building, to go out and to share the gospel individually with the people that we meet, with the people that we work with, the people that we're friends with, the people we go out to dinner with, whatever. That's the way we're going to win souls. And maybe this morning you're thinking, oh my goodness, how in the world am I going to handle this? How am I going to do it? Well, that's why I read these verses from Paul. If there's ever a guy who knew how to win souls, if there was ever a guy who knew how to reach people for Jesus, it was Paul. Paul was one of the best apostles and missionaries that I've ever known. I love to read how the spirit that he had as he went out and he carried the gospel, and he didn't care what he was facing. He went to one city and they stoned him, drug him out of the city and left him for dead. Well, that didn't bother Paul. The Lord revived him. He got up and he didn't run away. He went right back into that city and carried the gospel back to them. And here in these verses, Paul reflects back on his life. And Paul thinks back to the things that he's done in his life. And he gives us some tips for sharing the gospel. Some things we need to learn about evangelism. Some things we can use. Some very practical lessons he gives us right here. The first lesson he gives us is, he gives us the lesson of humbleness. He tells us there in verse 16, I have nothing to glory of. Down in verse 19, I make myself a servant to all. Number one, if we're going to go out and we're going to tell other people about Jesus Christ, we've got to be humble. We can't come with this holier-than-thou attitude. I'm a Christian and my life's been changed and I'm on my way to heaven right now, and you sure better do it or else you're going to hell, you sinner. Aren't too many people going to respond to that? What we've got to recognize is that we're nothing more than one beggar showing another beggar where the food is. We've got to realize that we're not perfect, we're just forgiven. That's all Christians are. Too many times Christians come with a witnessing attitude as, we're better than the others. We're better than this one who's on drugs, or we're better than this couple who's living with one another. You know, God views all sin as the same. Whether it's the sin of gossip, whether it's the sin of adultery, he views them all the same, and every one of us have fallen to to these sins. Maybe not certain ones, but we all fall to sin in certain ways in certain areas of our life. And we need to approach with the attitude of, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I went to Jesus Christ. He forgave me, and I may not be perfect, but he's forgiven me for all the times that I'm not perfect. And that's why I'm going to heaven, because I trusted in him. Not because I'm a good person, not because I'm a great Christian, not because I was raised in church, but because I believed in Jesus Christ. That's the attitude we've got to have when we approach others, as we're nothing without Christ. Jesus said in John, I think it's chapter 15, said, except you abide in me, you can do nothing. And that's the point we've got to reach. No matter what our social status is, no matter what our bank account is, no matter how many friends we might have, without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. No matter what kind of lifestyle we might have lived, no matter what we might have kept ourselves from getting involved in, without Jesus, we're nothing more than poor, lost sinners on a way to hell. And that's all we are, sinners saved by grace. And if we want to be good evangelists, if we want to be good witnesses for Jesus Christ, number one, we've got to be humble. Number two, we've got to recognize how important it is. Paul talked about the idea of stewardship. He said, necessity is laid upon me. Verse 17, he said, is committed unto me. The gospel is a responsibility. It is a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to take and tell other people about Jesus. You know, God could have chosen the angels to go ahead and share the story about Jesus Christ. He could have said, Gabriel, you go to Asia, and Michael, you go to Africa, and so on and on. And he could have allowed them to share the gospel, but he didn't. He chose every one of us to be ones that bear witness of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Every one of us has that privilege of knowing that just the words from our mouth can help someone to change their entire eternal outlook on life, to change their eternity from an eternity that's lost to an eternity that's going to be great and wonderful, an abundant life, an amazing life through Jesus Christ. We have a privilege, but it's also a stewardship. It's a responsibility that every one of us has. I believe it's a responsibility we're going to have to answer for when we get to heaven. I believe we're going to have to answer to God as to what we did with the gospel message. How did we handle it? Did we share it? Did we keep it bottled up? Paul says the words there, it's committed unto me. Paul didn't look around and say, well, you know, Peter, James, and John, they were with Jesus everywhere he went. I think they ought to be the ones to tell. Or, you know, Mary and some of the other women, I think they're the ones who ought to do the personal witnessing. You know, Mary was the first one who saw him after he was resurrected. They ought to be the ones telling others. Paul didn't look around and say, you know, brother so-and-so, he's not doing his job. Sister so-and-so, they're not doing their job. Paul didn't worry about anyone else. Paul said, it's committed to me. It's my job. It's my responsibility. If somebody else isn't doing it, well, so what? I'm going to do it. If somebody else is doing it, well, I'm still going to do it. It's my job and my responsibility, and I've got to do it. You might remember the parable Jesus told of the man who was going away and gave his servant talents. He gave one 5, one 2, and another 1 talent. Now, this can think about the gospel in this aspect. Every one of us is given different gifts. Some of us may have more than others, but every one of us is given a gift. And that gift is to be used to share the gospel. Now, the first guy, he took his 5 talents, and he went out, and he invested them. And he saw 5 more talents. The second guy, he took his 2 talents, he invested them, and he got 2 more talents. But the third guy, what did he do with his talent? Y'all whispering it, tell me. He buried it. He took it, he dug in the ground, and he buried it. And he covered it up with dirt. Too many Christians do that with the gospel message. I'm a Christian, but don't let nobody know that. Except when I go to church, you know, they could know that I'm a Christian. But otherwise, don't let them know that I'm a Christian. I ask you this, if a stranger was to step on Spanish Wells and was to start working with you or become friends with you, other than you going to church, would they know that you're a Christian? By your lifestyle, by the things that you do and the things that you say, by how you talk about Jesus, would they know that you're a Christian? Would they see a difference in your life? Too many times we just take it and we bury it up. The apostle Paul, he was so caring about this gospel and realizing so much it was a responsibility that the minute he believed in Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road and then he came in and he had the scales removed from his eyes, he was able to see. As soon as that he went through that experience, he was out sharing the gospel right away. In the beginning of Acts 9, verse 1, Paul is heading to Damascus to persecute Christians. By the time you get down to verse 20, Paul is out preaching about Jesus Christ and seeing more people become Christians. He didn't wait till he had grown as a Christian or attended some special class or spent more time studying the Bible. You see, as witnesses of Jesus Christ, we just tell what we know. You can't bring a witness into court and ask them to testify something they didn't see or they didn't know. They just testify what they know. Right now, you might have just been saved for a short while. Well, you can still testify what happened to you. I know I was lost and I was going to hell. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I asked him to forgive me and now I'm going to heaven. I may not know much more than that, but I do know that. And as we grow, we become more witnesses, for we can be a witness right away. Paul not only saw the responsibility in sharing the gospel, but Paul was enthusiastic about sharing the gospel. There's one phrase in the end of verse 16 that grabs my attention. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. The gospel's something to get excited about. It gives us the chance for an eternity in heaven. It's a free gift where every one of us can have it. It doesn't matter how young or how old. It doesn't matter the kind of life we've lived. It doesn't matter our skin color. It doesn't matter what country we're from. It doesn't matter our previous beliefs, whether we grew up in church or not. We can come and receive this free gift and know that we're going to heaven. Know for sure, for certain, that we're going to heaven. Paul got excited about this. He was so excited he couldn't keep it inside of him. He said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. There's so much good news involved there, and there are so many people that are going to hell and dying all the time and not knowing about Jesus Christ. How can I not tell other people about Jesus? How can I not share with others about Jesus? How can I hold back? How can I hold it in? Have you ever got that excited about Jesus that you just couldn't hold it in? Have you ever got that enthusiastic about him that you just couldn't stop from talking about him? That's how Paul felt about Jesus. And if we're not that enthusiastic, then there's some problems we need to deal with in our life. We need to get excited about Jesus. There's some things we need to change about our life. And Paul was so excited that it was hurting him to keep it in. He had to share this message with others. He had to tell others about Jesus. Because it was such great news how Jesus could save. Maybe right now you're saying, oh, Rich, I agree with you. Paul, I agree with you. There's a real responsibility there. And I really feel like I need to share the gospel, but what's the best way to do it? What's the best way to share the gospel so that others will come to Jesus Christ? Well, guess what? Paul didn't leave us in the dark about that either. Verses 20 to 23, he gives us some tips as to how we can share the gospel and how we can win others for Jesus Christ. Now, in these verses, Paul basically said, whatever the people were I wanted to share the gospel with, I tried to become like them. Now, he didn't break the laws that God has set for him. He didn't break his obedience to Jesus Christ. But he said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. To those without law, I became without law. To the weak, I became like the weak. Paul tried to fit in, and he tried to get the gospel wherever the people were. He tried to reach out to them wherever they were. You might remember Paul, when he went in to preach to a city for the first time, Paul went to the Jewish synagogue, because that's where he knew Jewish people were going to be. And in the Jewish synagogue, they allowed for a scripture reading of the Old Testament scriptures. And anyone who felt led could go ahead and read a scripture and share about it. So Paul realized the opportunity he had there. He went into the synagogue. He asked for the Old Testament scriptures. He picked a prophecy about Jesus. He read the prophecy about Jesus. And he went and he shared with them about Jesus. He could share with them from the Old Testament prophets because that's what they knew. That's what those people were familiar with. They were familiar with Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. They knew about that, so Paul used that. Now, a little bit later, I read that Paul went to a place called Mars Hill in Greece. And Paul stood on top of Mars Hill. Now, do y'all think Paul and Mars Hills to these Greek people took the Old Testament scriptures and read them? Of course not. These people didn't know the Old Testament scriptures. Paul took something that they realized, what they knew about. Paul recognized an altar they had to an unknown God, it said there. They'd put it there just in case, in building all their altars, there was a God that they missed. They put this extra altar there. Well, Paul took that thing that they knew, and he took it and used it to share with them God and his son, Jesus Christ. You see, when we share the gospel, we've got to, number one, take it to people where they are. You're not going to reach the drunks and the drug addicts preaching in church most of the time. We got to go where they are. We've got to go and carry the gospel to them and try to reach them the places they are, out on the streets, to their job, wherever they might be. We've got to carry the gospel there. We've got to reach people with the things that they know as well. We've got to make sure that we make the gospel something that's going to matter to them. If you talk to somebody who's living down in the slums and having a terrible life and stricken with poverty, and you talk with them about how bad hell is, they probably can't relate to it. They're probably thinking, well, it can be much worse than what I've already got now. But if you talk to them about how great heaven is, then they can imagine what a greater life would be, a more abundant life would be, a life where there would be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. You can reach them in that way. You see, too many times we gear the gospel message for one set of people. And that's people who's been raised in church. That's people who's grown up going to church. Even a lot of the words we use, like justification and transfiguration and sanctification, a lot of the people we talk to on the streets wouldn't know what in the world those words mean. Only the people who grow up in church. We've got to make our language what they'd understand. Sometimes we like to preach to them in the King James, thee and thou and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, well, I don't know what in the world that is. You've got to preach to me in my language. The language that I understand. That I know about. Natika and I were privileged in September and October to go over to Wales and to visit some of the assemblies there. And somebody approached me when I was there and said, Rich, what is art? Art? I thought about it. I was like, well, I guess it's paintings, drawings. He said, oh, well, why do people say, our Father which painted in heaven? Our Father which art in heaven. You see, he didn't understand the language that we use too many times. We've got to reach people where they are, with what they need to hear, with what they understand. Not only does Paul give us these helpful tips, but Paul goes ahead and he gives us and tells us that if we're going to reach people, it's going to be hard work. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to work hard. It's going to take some blood, sweat, and tears if you're going to reach people today. If you're going to see them won for Jesus Christ, it's not going to be easy. He uses several object lessons. First, he talks about athletics as an object lesson. He said, if you're going to win, you've got to work hard. He talks about how those people work to receive a corruptible crown. This church he was writing to in Corinth was in Greece. And this was the place where they held the first Olympic Games. And what they would give them at the Olympics was actually a crown made out of leaves and a wreath that they would place on top of their head. Now, of course, that would wither away soon. It wouldn't mean anything. Paul says, we fight and we strive for an incorruptible crown. Our riches are never going to be taken away. But if we want to achieve it, we've got to work, just like an athlete works for Jesus Christ. Now, an athlete, they can't take it easy and expect to win the gold. I mean, the girls that won the medals here for us in the Bahamas, they had to work hard to achieve them. They couldn't eat whatever they wanted and lay off and relax and watch television and whatever, and then just the day of the race, go out and go ahead and run and expect to win. They had to work hard at it. They had to give themselves a special diet, where they was going to follow a very strict diet, not allow certain types of food into their bodies, because it would slow them down. When they got out there, they had to spend, before they could ever go on the race, they had to spend a lot of time in practice. Not just running, but weightlifting and other hard physical training to get their legs strong, to get their bodies smaller, to get themselves ready to run that race. And when they got ready to run that race, they didn't run out there and run with the clothes like I've got on now. Long pants, heavy shoes, a big heavy coat on. They got down to the lightest clothing possible. To the best shoes that they could use to run with. And that's what they ran the race with. And it's because they did all of these things that they were actually able to win the race. You see, when it comes to living the Christian life, and reaching souls for Jesus Christ, we've got to work hard. We've got to stick to a special diet. Not allow certain things to come into our life. We've got to get rid of certain weights that are around us. Maybe a weight of unforgiveness. that is burdening us down. We've got to get rid of that if we expect to win souls for Jesus Christ. And we've got to train hard. That means spend time in prayer. That means spend time reading your Bible. Expect it to be a real challenge if you're going to see people won for Jesus Christ. Don't just do it as a one-time passing thing. Oh, you better come to know Jesus, goodbye. And if they come to you with questions and you don't have the answer to, you're like, well, I don't know what to say. You go ahead and you take and you spend time practicing, you spend time reading, you spend time getting ready. We have to bring our body under subjection is what Paul says there. We submit our body, soul, and mind to God. He also gives the picture of a boxer. It's what he tells there. He says, I fight not as one that beats the air. Basically, he's talking about shadow boxing. Now, a boxer wouldn't stand out there in the ring, and when the bell goes off while he's still in his corner, start throwing punches, jabs, and uppercuts, and jumping all around with nobody there in front of him. He waits till he gets right up to the guy who he's fighting. And he waits till he can land the most effective punch, till he sees an opening, up there to the head or down to the body. And he saves every bit of energy so that he can give all he's got with each punch and can be very effective with each punch. You see, when it comes to sharing the gospel, we don't want to be shadow boxers. We want our punches to land effectively. It means we want to be looking for the right opportunity. We want to be firing then in the right places and reaching the right people who need to hear the gospel. Sometimes a perfect opportunity, lots of times is when people are going through a sad time in their life. Maybe someone they love has died, or maybe they are experiencing some serious physical illness. That's when they need Jesus more than ever. And that's when we need to get in there and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And it's not going to be easy. You might have to get in there and you might have to cry with them for several hours. You might have to spend time not crying, just sitting there with them. But then that's when they need to hear the gospel. That's when they realize at that point in their life there's something more to life than just what we see here in this earth. And they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's not interested in lazy people. He wants people who's going to work hard for Him, who's going to be effective witnesses for Him. If we want to see a soul won for Christ, we're going to have to work hard. We're going to have to really give it all we've got. But if you think about it, isn't all that hard work well worth it to save one person from going to hell? Save one person from suffering forever? One of your friends, one of your relatives, one of your co-workers? Could you imagine a scene where you were both taken into eternity and your friend, your relative, your co-worker was suddenly about to be taken off into hell and they ask, where am I going? And you stop and you say, well, you see, you didn't believe in Jesus, so you're going to hell. And like, Jesus, well, if I'd have known about Jesus, I believed in Him. And they'd ask the question, why didn't you tell me about Him? What would your answer be? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you let me know about Jesus? Oh, I was scared you might get upset at me. Oh, I was scared you might not want to hear about Him. Oh, I was scared you might not want to be friends with me anymore, so I didn't bother to tell you. Do you think at that point it would really matter? Of course not. The whole eternity was on the line at that point. We all like to give excuses why we can't be evangelists, why we can't be witnesses. Perhaps some of you right now are sitting in your seat saying, Rich, that's a good message, but I could never do it. I can't do it for this reason or that reason or the other reason. I list here three reasons for me that are common reasons why I always give why I can't be a good evangelist, why I don't want to do it, reasons I always give the Lord. Maybe they apply to you. I always like to say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know exactly how to word it. What exactly do they need to hear? Do I start back from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Do I start at Christmas with the birth of Jesus? How exactly do I share it with them? And then I think about a young man named Jeremiah. Sometime read Jeremiah 1, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. The Lord approached Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I made you, I formed you, and I've chosen you. And Jeremiah said, Lord, you can't call me because I can't preach. Lord, I'm only a young person and I don't know what to say. The Lord said, doesn't matter, Jeremiah. You go and I'll give you the words to say. Also, I think about Moses. He said the same thing. Lord, I can't speak. The Lord said, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? I made it, and I'll give you the words to say. God will give us the words when we need at that time. The second excuse I always gave was, Lord, I don't want to go. I mean, I'm scared. What if they call me religious or call me crazy? What if they don't want anything to do with me anymore? Lord, what if my friends don't want to be my friends anymore? Lord, I don't want to go do it. Lord, let somebody else do it. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? The Apostle Paul said, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And neither one of us here today should be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Should be scared for other people to know that we're Christians. We should be willing to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, not in church, but outside of church. Not on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. And not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third excuse I always say is, well, Lord, it's no good for me to preach to them because they'll never listen to me. They're not going to change their ways. This gospel message isn't going to matter to them. It's no good for me to say anything. They're just going to keep going the way they are. Then we have to ask ourselves when we hear that kind of excuses, are we doubting the power of God's Word? You see, God has promised to bless His Word. He's promised, He says, my Word will never return void. Means, I'm going to use my Word to reach others. And you see, our job is not to save other people. Our job is to give them the message of Jesus Christ. No person in this room can save others. All we are is just simply messengers. God has given us a message how Jesus died for us so that we could be saved from our sins, so that we can live forever with Him. And all our job is to carry it to them. We carry the message to them. The Holy Spirit convicts their hearts. They turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saves them. We don't do anything except carry the message. All the work is done by God Himself. We shouldn't doubt the power of God's Word. The Apostle Paul one time wrote about how sometimes one of us sows, one of us waters, one of us reaps, but he says it's God who gives the increase. Sometimes we like to have these big evangelists, and sometimes we have a crusade or whatever, and a lot of these people would get saved and say, oh, the Lord's really using him to save people. Well, yeah, he is, but the Lord's still the one doing the saving. It's God the one who's given the increase. Do you know that Billy Graham says in his crusades, 90% of the people who come forward to get saved are people who are brought there by a friend or a relative who's a Christian. And most of the time that means they've known someone who's a Christian who's been constantly sharing the gospel with them, constantly planting the seed there. He says only about 10% just walk off the street, hear the gospel for the first time, and then come forward. See, we've got to be good seed planters. We've got to be good waterers, continually placing that seed in them if we want to see souls won. Don't doubt the power of God's Word. You just do your job, I'll just do my job, we'll carry the message of Jesus Christ to others. Next week, we're going to take a look at some statistics of why I want you to sit up front of the entire world around us. We're going to take a look at how the world is changing, and how we can reach the world today. But for this week, I want you to focus on the world around you right here in Spanish Wells. God has placed every one of you in a different world. You might even live in the same house, but God has placed every one of you in a different world. Every one of you has certain relatives, certain friends, certain co-workers, certain people you meet with on a regular basis that God has placed into your world for you to be a good witness to. This week, really pray and ask the Lord to help you to be the kind of witness that He wants you to be, so that you can reach out to those people and so that you can see them one, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, again, we recognize and realize so much that we can do nothing. Lord, we need your help so much. Lord, we have no power on our own, but we rely on your power. Heavenly Father, this morning as we stand here before you, each one of us, we ask and pray that you would help us to be the kind of witnesses you've called us to be. Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, to be good stewards of the gospel, we've been given this great responsibility. Lord, get us more enthusiastic every day about Jesus Christ and his love. Heavenly Father, help us to reach people where they are. Help us to know how to take the message to the people and to carry what they need to hear at the time they need to hear it. Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we prepare ourselves to carry the gospel, as we train ourselves, Heavenly Father. We realize that we have to bring our body under subjection. We have to take and practice and work hard if we're going to see souls saved. So Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us. And whatever fears we might be facing, whether people are facing the same fears that have been listed here or some others, we ask that you would make them realize that it's just Satan that's providing those fears in their hearts and minds. And that if they just trust in you, you're going to do all the work. All of us at this would simply call to carry the message. Father, we thank you for those here that have been faithful witnesses for years now, who have been faithfully telling others about Jesus Christ. Continue to help them, Lord, to win souls for you. Father, again, we commit ourselves to you. We commit the rest of today to you. We ask that in all that we say and do, Heavenly Father, that your name would be lifted up and your name would be glorified. Father, help us, we pray, in this understanding.